Hello, good morning everyone. I feel like I just want Debbie to come back up again and keep telling us stories about Jesus' saving power. So today we are continuing our series on the kingdom. We've been learning how Jesus addresses issues that kind of corrode our relationships with each other. Because one of the highest values in the kingdom is loving, healthy relationships with God and with others. So anything that kind of threatens those loving, healthy relationships, Jesus wants to lovingly, that is a really important part of it, lovingly expose it and help us deal with it, as we will see in today's passage. Now today we're talking about loving your enemies, and a number of years ago, just to kind of give a bit of an example really of how this has been part of my story, a number of years ago, at some point in my adult years, I'm just keeping it very vague, just to keep it anonymous, I had someone who would be classed as an enemy at work. And, you know, this person was a real genuine bully, now I look back on things. You know, they treated me and many other colleagues like awfully, you know, publicly trying to humiliate us, insult us, very critical, shaming our work. You know, lying about situations to make them look good and make us look bad, you know, misrepresenting our mistakes, all the kind of things bullies or enemies would do. And it was, you know, genuinely a really awful season at work. Many of my colleagues left their jobs, as you would, you know, it's a very toxic environment. And for a couple of different reasons, I wasn't able to leave my job immediately. And so there was a big battle raging in me, in my heart and in my mind, as to how I would treat that person in return. You know, how I responded to it. And, you know, I hated how that person treated me and others. Like, I hated the impact that they had on people's lives. And I was so hurt by them. You know, I stopped trusting them. I didn't want to see them. I avoided them. I didn't feel I could show any weakness to them. I developed real anxiety, actually, about crossing paths with them and seeing them. And I guess for me, one of the big thoughts was, how could I seek justice and protect myself and protect others in this situation whilst also treating them with love? And all of us, I imagine, will have a situation or a person in our life that we have felt wronged by. You know, it might be at work, like one of my story was. You know, someone who naturally we would want to retaliate to, we would want revenge. Like, we maybe even just would want bad things to happen to them as we feel bad things have happened to us. And my goodness, do we need God's help to respond and navigate those situations. And our passage today is going to be speaking right to the heart of situations and relationships like this. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read our passage together. Yeah, Father, I thank you that you are so loving. I kind of just want to remind us all of that, that you are so loving. Like Debbie's story has shown, like, I pray, Father, today we will all understand that you are a loving God. Amen. Great. So our passage is Matthew 5, 38 to 48. It's going to come up on the screen. So do follow it with me. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I mean, these are some of the most difficult, radical, controversial commands of Jesus. You know, these verses I have found can be quite confusing and misleading. You know, they're complex when you apply them to real life situations in our lives. And I just want to first address, what do I mean when I say enemy? You know, you've heard enemy in the passage. I'm going to be referring to that word quite a lot today. And so I just want to explain a little bit more about what I'm going to mean from that. Now, you might be thinking, I'm a nice person. I don't cause any trouble. I don't have any enemies. Well, let's just take a look at the passage again and see how enemy is actually defined. Because enemy refers to a very wide range of people, from very severe, extreme opposition to kind of day-to-day minor snubbing. In verse 44, it says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So that's suggesting the first meaning of enemy, that it's those who persecute you. And persecute means to intentionally harm. So those who oppose you, those who are trying to hurt you, are enemies. And obviously for some around the world, this will be very intense and tragic persecution. But for others, I imagine most of us in the room, it will be much less dramatic and on a much smaller scale. In verse 45, it refers to enemies as those who do evil, those who are against God. And in verse 46, it suggests enemies can be those who just don't love you. Maybe those who've insulted you or disrespected you or offended you or humiliated you. Those who've just deliberately wronged you. So that might include a neighbor who has been giving you a hard time and showing animosity towards you, or a boss who's disrespecting you and undermining you in front of others at work, or even a family member who's wronged you. Like, the definition of enemy in this passage is actually much broader than we would most maybe initially think. So therefore, Jesus is probably speaking to all of us, not just those who are persecuted in the most extreme circumstances. Now let's go back at the passage and look at some of the verses. So the very first verse in 38, it says, you have heard it was said, or the Message version of the Bible says, here's another old saying that deserves a second look. So to those Jesus was speaking to at the time, they would have known this phrase, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. This was a Jewish belief from Old Testament teaching about retaliation and kind of like proportionate punishment. And Jesus is now effectively like re-looking at it, readdressing it and redefining it. In verse 39, that very well-known phrase, as I imagine a lot of us will know, it says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Or in other translations, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. So what does that actually mean? Does that mean that you just stand idly by watching evil? What does that mean for a police officer who's rescuing someone from an attacker who is committing a violent assault? Is Jesus saying that that police officer should just ignore it and look away? Or a parent who's dealing with a child who's like persistently misbehaving and ignoring them? Does this verse mean that they should just ignore it and allow that child to continue and not discipline them or intervene? Or a manager who has a staff member who is repeatedly causing problems at work, maybe lying or stealing things from the office, and they've demonstrated over and over again that they're not trustworthy. Is it suggesting that they should just brush it under the carpet? Turn the other cheek? Is that what that means? Not make a big deal of it? Now, I don't believe these verses are saying that at all. You know, but life is full of really complicated situations, and sometimes when we try and match up and apply the teaching of Jesus in a different real-life situation, it's not always straightforward. And before we move on, I just want to recognize Dave Horsfall put it a couple of weeks ago. And I just want to say, due to the messiness of life, there are going to be some times and situations where it would not be right or appropriate to intentionally seek out that person, like the enemy, who has caused you harm or done you wrong. There are times when it wouldn't be right or safe to return to that situation or the person where the wrong has occurred. And so cutting all ties in some situations is the right decision. But even in those really tough circumstances, there are other things that you can do to obey this command, to love our enemies, which we're going to come on to. So I just want to unpack this idea, this biblical idea of turning the other cheek. I just want to talk about some practical ideas of how we do that. So number one, don't be indifferent towards evil and injustice. Like, don't be indifferent to it. Now, I don't think in any way that in these verses Jesus is suggesting that physically assaulting or harming you or another person is acceptable or that it should be allowed. Like, violence is evil. Jesus is not condoning or tolerating physical violence in any way. I want to be really clear about that. His life modeled non-violence. He urges non-violence. And thankfully, the law in our country reflects these biblical values. Like, violence is prohibited in our law. Assault and violence of any form against a person is illegal, you know, except in very few exceptional circumstances like self-defense. But even violence and assault of the lowest level can result in a prison sentence. So for biblical reasons and legal reasons, as Christians, we're not indifferent or passive when it comes to violence. You know, elsewhere in the Bible, God is so clear that he encourages us to oppose evil and to seek justice. And some of you might have already paid a visit to see the Knife Angel sculpture. We've got a photo of it coming up. This is currently on display in Leeds, outside the Royal Armouries, and this sculpture has basically been touring the country, and it's part of a national campaign to promoting awareness around serious youth violence and knife crime. And this sculpture, as you might be able to see, it's made up of 100,000 seized blades, sadly from young people. Like, violence is an issue in our society. I spent over 10 years working with children and young people who sadly were at risk of serious harm, and that was often due to extreme violence in their homes or in their communities. And I've seen firsthand, as many of you will have too, like the absolute catastrophic impact of violence and other forms of evil on people's lives. Like, Jesus did not sit on the fence when it comes to evil and injustice. Like, seeking justice for the oppressed, that was Jesus's heart. His teaching on non-retaliation, as we see in this passage, it's not passive, it's deliberate, it's intentional, it's a very active response. Jesus is compassionate and forgiving towards enemies, but don't think that justice won't be done. So, number two, don't take revenge. Vengeance belongs to God, not us. We don't have to take vengeance into our hands to make sure right is done. And there is a difference between seeking justice and taking revenge. You can take steps to seek justice without taking revenge. You know, if a crime has been committed, you can report it to the police, for example, without seeking personal revenge. And I see this being played out with my kids all the time. We're at the end of the half-term weeks. I've got lots of fresh, real-time examples I could provide, you know, but examples of that real raw desire in hearts to take revenge, you know, and we see it in kids quite obviously, don't we? You know, they just don't have a filter. And actually, I think more than we would like to admit, that real raw desire to take revenge is in us, our hearts too, as grown-ups. You know, the amount of times, I've just paid a little bit more attention to it as I've been preparing this talk this last couple of weeks, the amount of times I say to my kids, like, don't retaliate, like, choose a different way, like, just because that person's using really, really mean, unkind words to you, it doesn't mean you have to do it back. Like, you know, it's a constant message, you know, we give to children, but also it's the same to us, like, we need to be reminded of this message. And I think sometimes there is a battle for us that if we choose not to take revenge, we think that someone is getting away with something, whatever they've done. And I have definitely felt like that at times. But revenge is not our place. Vengeance belongs to God. In Proverbs 24:29, it says, "Do not say, 'I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done.'" Or in 1 Peter 3, verse 9, "Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. On the contrary, bless, for this is to what you were called." Wow. Bless. Bless those who have done us wrong. That's our third point. Bless your enemies. Now, this will look different in different circumstances, but the intent is that we do good rather than evil back. It involves like a posture of giving. As in that first part of our passage we read today, you know, give to him who asks, it says in verse 42, like, be willing to make sacrifices on behalf of an enemy. Like, you're wanting good for them. And this might involve physically helping them out, like physically helping them meet their needs. It says in Romans 12, "If your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And as Christian theologian John Piper puts it, loving your enemy may mean practical acts of helpfulness in the ordinary things of life. Loving your enemy may mean practical acts of helpfulness in the ordinary things of life. So that might look like putting your bin out for that neighbor who's been really rude and disrespectful to you. It might look like making a cup of tea for that manager at work who's been constantly humiliating you. It might mean sending a really thoughtful present, birthday present in the post to that family member who's deeply wronged you. It might even be offering to help that friend who's put an advert out on Facebook saying they need help moving house, even though last week they really insulted you. Like, how can you overcome a situation of evil with good, like with that posture of giving? Okay, we've got two more. Number four, greet your enemy. In verse 47, this is like another example of loving your enemy. It's as simple as greeting them, communicating with them, like acknowledging they are there, like not stubbing them or ignoring them. Maybe it's even just smiling at them, like making eye contact with them. And some of us may well be giving someone the cold shoulder, you know, acting almost like that enemy is no longer part of our lives anymore. And these aren't situations like I referred to earlier, when actually it is right in some very extreme circumstances to cut all ties and actually not have someone as part of your life. I'm referring to most of us, the vast majority of situations will be actually like it's our posture towards them. We've got an opportunity to greet them again. That we can lean towards an attitude of reconciliation and learn how to love them. And maybe for some of us here today, that process is going to start with greeting them once again. And number five, our final point, it's verse 44, is pray for them. And praying for your enemies is one of the deepest forms of love. You know, you might be able to do some really nice things for your enemy, but without actually desiring good for them. But praying for them is asking God to do good things for them. And I have found that in like the act of like praying for someone who you'd consider an enemy, I have found that like something shifts in my heart. I kind of catch more of God's perspective of that person and his deep love and compassion towards them. So we've had, I'm just going to repeat our points. Don't be indifferent towards evil and injustice. Don't take revenge. Bless your enemies. Greet your enemy and pray for them. And having heard these like kind of biblical ideas of how to love your enemies, you might be sat there thinking like, but how on earth do I get to a point that I can do any of those things to person A who has wronged me and done such evil? Like the thought of it might actually seem so overwhelmingly impossible, so beyond reach. Like how on earth do we become people like that? And I just want to finish with two thoughts. Kind of partly based on my own experience and what I've noticed about myself anyway, of how we can be those kind of people, like how we can tackle some of those barriers that can prevent us from being used by God to love our enemies. So my final two thoughts. Firstly, create a culture of forgiveness. And forgiveness is a really messy, complex, painful subject. It has been for me anyway. And Jesus speaks about it, like Jesus places incredibly high value on forgiveness. More than that, he actually commanded people who follow him to forgive again and again and again, whoever the person is. Like Jesus wants our forgiveness to be really forthcoming. And loving people you hate, forgiving people you hate, is a radical teaching of Jesus. But it could completely transform human society. Like forgiveness is an act of love. Jesus forgave those who killed him. It says in Luke 23, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And I'm just not sure that any of us could treat our enemies with the love and compassion and peace that Jesus is urging in the passage we've read today if we haven't forgiven them. But forgiveness and trust are two very different things. Yes, we are called to forgive. But do you always trust your enemy? No. Do you trust an enemy who's harmed or abused someone in your family? No. But do you forgive them? Yes. And 20 years ago, in 2004, I was a teenager living in London, and I kind of had a standout moment that I remember clearly to this day, and trust me, I don't remember loads of things from 20 years ago, but this one I really remember. And I had actually just stumbled across an art exhibition on the south bank of the River Thames called The F Word. The F Word being forgiveness, you'll be pleased to hear. And this exhibition was the launch of what is now actually a worldwide charity called The Forgiveness Project, which promotes a message of forgiveness instead of revenge, and it's kind of like transformative impact in society and in people's lives. And in this exhibition, there were photos and stories of countless situations from around the world of a victim of a really like horrendous act of evil or violence. They basically told their story through photos of how they'd gone through a process of forgiving their kind of enemy. And I remember as a teenager being absolutely blown away and shocked, to be honest, with the scale of forgiveness. Like, many of the people had had family members killed by their enemy, and my mind was blown by the power of forgiveness, like the gravity of forgiveness. And for most of us here, our enemy won't be as extreme or tragic as those examples, but the principles and the message remain the same for us in our everyday encounters with an enemy. Like, forgiveness matters. It can change our perspective. It can change our attitude towards the person. It can help us to love our enemy. And I wonder, what has been your story of forgiveness? Maybe today is just going to be a reminder to bring forgiveness back on your agenda. And I really pray that forgiveness may well be a real game changer in some people's situations with their enemy. And secondly and finally, what can help us become the kind of people who can love enemies? Remember our own story. You know, the Christian story, my story, many of our stories, is that we ourselves were once enemies of God. As it says in Romans 5, verse 10, when we were God's enemy, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. While we were still God's enemy. Like, God saved us while we were still his enemy. He didn't wait for us to befriend him or be kind to him, as we so often wait for our enemies. We wait for them to change, don't we? We wait for them to start doing good deeds towards us. We wait for them to become kinder people. We wait for a change in their life. But God didn't wait for that for us. He loved us as enemies. Like, that's my story. That's our story. You know, that we've received great kindness and mercy and goodness from God while we were his enemy. And when I forget that's my story, when I lose sight of that truth, I am much more likely to withhold love from my enemy on earth. I struggle much more with those practical ideas that I've spoken of today. But when I remember and when I dwell upon the great forgiveness I've received from God, my attitudes towards others just start to change. And I somehow find a strength and a desire from God to bless my enemies. And as Debbie so bravely shared in her story, like, the Christian life is ultimately not about measuring up. It's about realizing that we don't measure up and acknowledging that, and actually, like, accepting that God's forgiveness can empower us to be different people. It can empower us to treat our enemies differently to what they deserve, because we have been treated differently to what we deserve. If you're not a Christian here today, I just want to say really wholeheartedly that I believe that God's offer for forgiveness is always on the table for any of us. And if you are a follower of Jesus here today, today is like another opportunity to remember our story, the story of our salvation. To repent over those attitudes that we can hold towards our enemies, the way we treat them. And be reminded of that forgiveness and mercy of God in our lives. Great, so I'm just going to pray for us as we close. Yeah, Father God, the truth I have experienced of you, the truth I read about in the Bible, the truth many people have experienced today, even as Debbie shared, is that you are a loving God. Father, you are a loving God. You did not treat us as we deserved. While we were still enemies, you loved us. Yeah, Father, I just pray, even in this place this morning, would you reveal your great mercy and love. Help us to be the kind of people who can treat our enemies not according to what they deserve, but according to the love that you have shown us. Amen. Great. So as the band come up, would you stand with me? And I just want to encourage you as we start to worship, that if you've got someone who has come to mind, or even a situation that has come to mind that kind of fits the most with that kind of biblical idea of an enemy, like, bring it to God now. bring that honesty before God now. And as we worship him, just tell him about